Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, and sitting across from me is
the anonymous. The anonymous Mike Cosentino, you know, Edward Snowden versus Bradley Manning and other surreptitious folks.
Okay. We've got three guests in the studio today. Ruth Wicks, a community activist. We've got Bob Oliphant, who was on the board of Yavapai College. And we've got Jessica Williamson, who's a close personal friend of mine and on the Sedona City Council. So you guys want to introduce yourself? Bob, you want to start?
I'm Bob.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm retired. I live in Cottonwood. I've lived in Cottonwood about 10 years. I'm a retired law professor from William Mitchell College of Law in St. Paul. Continue to write books and things like that, at least on a part-time basis that are used around the country. How's that? I've been working.
That's great, Bob. You, a couple of your books are still in print and still in use.
They are, actually.
That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Aside from that, I've been working since about 2006 with Ruth Wicks and a number of other community leaders in the greater Verde Valley from Sedona, Cottonwood, Clarkdale, Jerome, and elsewhere on developing a fundraising chapter for the college. So we've been working intimately for a long time now with Yavapai College in the Verde Valley.
And you are on the board of the college. What does that mean for folks that might not know?
There's a 5-member district board, and you are elected in each district. It's just like the county commissioners in terms of the scope of the board representation. So I was on that board for a little over a year. Then I resigned.
You were elected or appointed?
Actually, I was appointed. No one else
wanted
the position. That's correct.
You did put yourself up for election.
I did. Yes, that's correct.
But the fact you were appointed is because you had no opposition.
No opposition.
That's an important difference.
You're right.
Okay. Yavapai County has 5 supervisors. So the board of directors of the college reflects the same divisions as the supervisors. We have basically one supervisor completely from the Verde Valley, and that's the district you represented on the board.
That's correct. That's the 3rd district.
And Ruth, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I fortunately have been in the Verde Valley since 73. My family came in 1919. So we have deep roots here. I've got to work with many of the students from not only Cottonwood and Clarkdale, but when I came to Mingus, the students also came from Sedona because Sedona didn't have a high school at that time. So I worked 24 years at Mingus, and then I went on and worked part-time for the college. And after I retired from the college, then I worked with Bob to create this chapter, Greater Verde Valley Foundation chapter. And he and I both are the past presidents of that chapter, and we raise significant funds for the college. And I'm real happy to be here, Steve. It brings back a lot of fond memories.
And Jessica is on the Sedona City Council, and she's asked staff to research how much in the way of property taxes Sedona pays for the community college, and she's invited administrators at the community college to come and testify before the Sedona City Council about what's going on. Where to start, Bob? Give us a picture of Yavapai College. They don't want to call themselves a community college, even though they're collecting monies, basically tax monies, based on being a community college, right?
That's correct. What has really happened, either intentionally or unintentionally, until about 2005, is that the college has been developing over in Prescott, and it's been developing along the model of a state college. It has championship athletic teams. It has a huge performing arts center. It has music programs. It has swimming pools, tennis courts. Everything is dormitories. They've been plowing millions and millions of dollars into the development of what I see as simply a model, modeling after a state college, not a community college. It clearly isn't a community college in the sense that people normally understand a community college today. It just is not.
Because there's no attempt really to serve the east side of Yavapai County in the same way they're serving the west side. And one of your things that really caught Mike's and my attention was that the 10-year plan that they issued projected 95% of their spending in Prescott and Prescott Valley. The other thing, one of they're closing campuses, all the rural campuses, and they're building three campuses over in the Prescott Valley.
That's exactly right. I was stunned. Actually, it looks like about 99% of all of the funding for development over the next 10 years will go to Prescott and Prescott Valley. They're closing Sedona. They need that money, by the way, to run this big operation over there. You cannot run what's being developed and has been developed on the other side of the mountain without closing Sedona, without closing Chino Valley, which was renovated at the cost of over $4 to $5 million in 2004.
It looks like a beautiful campus.
It's a very, very nice campus, state-of-the-art in terms of solar usage and things like that.
Bob, is it safe to say all rural campuses will be closed or sold in the next 10 years?
That would be accurate, depending on whether you would say the Verde campus in Clarkdale. They're going to keep the Verde campus open. And they say there will be some presence in Sedona, but that's it. They closed the Camp Verde campus back in 2010.
I actually took a prehistory.
Camp Verde campus. Right.
I took a course. It wasn't much to the Camp Verde campus. It looked like it just sort of a half-hearted effort in Camp Verde, frankly, with the facilities and stuff.
Most of what occurs on the east side of the county appears, in my judgment, to be half-hearted, to be started and dropped, not in any way fueled. Seriously, by the Prescott people who control all of this.
Ruth, you said in one of your presentations that according to the Smith Report, the Verde Valley campus in Clarkdale was described as being out of the way.
That's correct.
What does that tell you about the orientation of the college? Because it's out of the way from where? It's not out of the way if you live in the Verde Valley. It's closed. It's out of the way only if you live over in Prescott or Prescott Valley.
Yeah, I feel that they have, the leadership of the college has a very narrow view of what they want to do. And that's, to bring a elite premier educational system to the Prescott area. And that people from the county, which of course is as big as the state of Massachusetts, all would come to Prescott to get their education. And I told the district governing board, I think in October, that Cottonwood Oak Creek School District, which mirrors our population, has a 73% reduced and free lunch program for their students. 73% of them get that, which means that their families are living at or below poverty level. So we have a large percentage of people that are not affluent, do not have dependable transportation. Maybe their parents have never gone to college. A lot of them are older people that have child needs to care for their children. So those are the people you're asking to drive an hour and a half and possibly longer. If you look at Beaver Creek, Sedona, you know, it could be even longer, and going over a mountain that oftentimes is impassable. Of course, we haven't gotten any moisture this year, but often, you know, for various reasons is closed.
So they're asking the people that go to school here, the young people here, and also there's a lot of older people.
Exactly.
Right?
I think the medium age is like 36 for the college.
So they're working people. They're going back to school. And
right.
I think everybody knows that the difference in income between people who go to college or go to advanced training, technical training, and those that don't is just getting greater and greater.
Well, they don't even have an opportunity to get those kinds of skills. And, you know, the more education, I always used to tell my high school students, 80% of all jobs out there require additional training or education beyond high school. So what they're doing is they're denying the people that the very people that need it the most, they're denying them that opportunity. And I don't think it's out of being spiteful. I think that we have been silent. Our silence have given them consent, and we've emboldened them. So in some ways, we trusted our leadership too much. And now that they have done this terrible thing to us, this void of schooling here in our valley, it's like, what? What's going on?
Ruth, I'm looking at a picture of Ruth Wicks standing up at a board meeting in September saying some of these things. So obviously you were involved in this and didn't just let it go by. Your charge applies to the rest of us, but it doesn't apply so much so strongly to yourself. Now, during this presentation, you brought up lots and lots of good points, including you brought home the fact that we don't consider ourselves out of the way. We're pretty much in the way.
I think with the out-of-the-way remark, what's your take on it, Mike? But the out-of-the-way remark shows an absolute sort of geographic centrism. It's only out of the way if all you think about is being in Prescott and Prescott Valley. And according to Bob's report, they're closing campuses over here on the east side of the valley, and they're opening three campuses over on the west side of the valley, and they're spending all our tax money basically over there.
Well, what they're going to do, they're going to invest about $37 million of your money in the new Prescott Valley campus. They're going to invest another $40 to $50 million in the Prescott main campus, and then in the vocational campus that they opened back in 2010. That's where the money is going to go. That's why they need to sell Sedona. They got to sell Chino Valley, not reopen, not even open the campus down at Cordis Junction that was promised way back in 2000. They need that money for those big campuses.
And Jessica, didn't they, in the 2000, I believe it was, bond issue, didn't they sort of promise Sedona we would have a state-of-the-art technical center here, film school, to get Sedona voters to vote for that bond issue?
Well, I wasn't here then, but that's my reading of the documents is that, yeah, that's exactly what happened. There was promises made to rural Arizonans in order to get our votes for the 2000 bond issue. And interestingly enough, now, 14 years later, they're going to sell the assets that were promised in that bond issue, and we're still paying our Sedona residents, greater Sedona area, we're paying $700,000 a year to repay in our Yavapai County property taxes, we're paying $700,000 a year to repay those bonds. And they're taking all the proceeds of the bonds out of our area.
Jessica, as a counselor, as a Sedona counselor, would you say that the college and the film school had a large positive impact, economic impact?
I think it did have a large, it certainly had a huge potential economic impact. It needs to be, you can't just put something out there and then take all the resources away and say, look, it's not working. That's for me a real problem. One of the things that's not mentioned very often when we talk about the Sedona campus is OLLI, the Lifelong Learning Institute there. It has over 600 members of OLLI. And when I look at the numbers, the enrollment numbers that are put out, they never count those 600 people as being enrolled at the Sedona campus. If you include those, the numbers of enrollees at the Sedona campus has grown tremendously. I think it's extremely important to preserve the instructional components of the City College community college in the Verde Valley.
As far as you know, is there a discrepancy between stated enrollment figures of the film school? Have people come to you saying, gee, we don't know where these, now obviously most of the justification for dropping programs is enrollment. Was the film school that under-enrolled? And do you have any information, or people come to you with information with that?
We've just started looking into this as a city council. No, I don't have any information on that. I do know that the allegations that I've heard are very general ones, that the resources were just pulled away, and that's why the film school moved as well. So, you know, you can cause a catastrophe and stand back and say, oh my gosh, it's a catastrophe, we have to leave. And I think that's in a large part what's happened on this side of the valley recently.
Let's talk about taxes for a minute. I don't think most people realize that, and Jessica can give us the figures for Sedona. Most people don't realize that they pay as much taxes for Yavapai College in the Verde Valley. You pay as much taxes for Yavapai College as we do, at least in Sedona, to support our entire school system from K through 12. The same amount of money, almost exactly the same amount of money that we pay the fire department or give to the fire department to protect us. So how much tax money a year does Yavapai Community College pull from Sedona?
Well, what they pull for the Yavapai Community College is 15% actually of the revenue. That's the tax revenue that goes to the college. So Sedona, little Sedona itself, the general area, the taxable area, contributes 15% of their tax revenue. It's extraordinary. And that's the amount that it was last year, is $6.5
million. $6.5
million.
And I think the question you have to raise is, if you're paying as much money for Yavapai College as you're paying for your school system and your fire department, what's Yavapai College giving back to you? And I think that's what Bob and Ruth, that's your complaint, isn't it? That they're taking all this, one complaint, I don't want to limit it, they're taking all this tax money and they're spending it all over on the other side of the valley, and then they're bragging about it providing economic development to Prescott and Prescott Valley, right, Bob?
That's exactly right. Think about it. $100 million is going to be spent by the college in the next 10 years on that side of the mountain. Now, where are they going to get that? Well, they don't say exactly where they're going to get that, but they got to get half of it through the sale of the Sedona campus and the Chino Valley campus. They've got to get money from you to do that. But that's what they're doing. The whole dynamic of the community college concept in the county is under complete and total attack. There's no question about it.
We want to say that we called the college, obviously we'll make every opportunity to be fair. And we are working out a way that they will be on the show. We offered, of course, they could be in the studio. We could do it on the telephone, carrier pigeon, satellite, whatever, any way possible. There's lots of ways of communicating these days, and so all of those are open to us. And we're still, they did decline to be on today's show directly, and that we will be talking to them in the future.
We've heard for years from faculty members and from administrators that they're underfunding the Clarkdale campus, that they're pulling courses. Is there anyone on the, and Mike may know this, is there anyone on the Clarkdale campus that can make academic decisions? We've had complaints that all the academic decisions, and that means what courses are offered. Now, if you can control what courses are offered, you can control a lot. Go ahead, Bob.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, back in 2004, one of the investments in the Verde campus was for the Northern Arizona Regional Skills Center. This was a big project. It anticipated large enrollment and an impact far outside of Yavapai County in the northern areas. That project was closed down 4 years later. The nursing program was set up with $4, $5, $6 million investment in the Verde campus. Prescott intends to move, certainly a part of that nursing program, it's a part of this 10-year plan, over to Prescott Valley. Those are two specific programs, clearly in the valley, clearly that would have been major development types of projects that are now gone.
So why isn't this nursing school being built on the Clarkdale campus, on the Verde campus? Because you've got 100 lake acres, most of which is unused down there.
Ruth, you want to, Ruth knows the answer to that one.
Yes, sir. No, I have no idea. And Mike knows I say this quite often. We don't know. It seems like a poor business move on their part. The Verde Valley Medical Center has been a supporter of education in this valley for 20-some years. They give these loans that are forgiven to nursing students if they work like 2 years at the hospital. That's been going on for 20, 25 years. They give equipment. They've given, I think, cash in support of the nursing program. And they've just sort of been given the goodbye, and now we're going to work with the Prescott facilities there. And, maybe we'll use you sometime down the road.
According to Bob's report, they're spending $1 million redoing the tennis courts over at the college in Yavapai, and that they're bragging, right, that there's, it's great for tourism in Prescott to have really good tennis courts.
That's exactly right.
Bob worked for a number of years on researching the trail system through these additional 100 acres, 80 acres that we have at the Verde campus. They have a lovely trail system there on the main campus or the administrative campus in Prescott. And Jim Boswick and John Frerichs, who are fine educators at the college, had worked on that prior to that. So for over 20 years, they've tried to get a trail system. No trail system. So
I do want to throw in here quickly that the station records show you were talking about who can make an academic decision on the Verde campus, and I'm saying it's been insidious. We're talking about taking away the scheduling from the Verde campus. They started 7 or 8 years ago, and they completely took it away 4 years ago. So you have this bunch of students and administrators and instructors that have no control over their own schedule, and that's kind of a big deal. Just like any other person that doesn't have
control
over their own
enrollment, right?
Station
Matt?
Records right. show that they stopped involvement with the station 6 years ago. So we're talking about 7, 8 years ago, it started slowly. 4 years ago, the Verde campus, I'm talking about the Verde campus, was not allowed to do its own scheduling at all. And, yes. And you,
is there a dean in
question.
Residence at the college, Mike?
Say again?
Is there a dean in residence at the college?
No. There's a guy that comes over from Prescott.
Okay. Well, no, there is a dean. Jim Perry is a dean at the Verde campus. He lives in Prescott Valley and does drive over, but there is not in residence per se, but he is the dean of the college there.
Yeah. Okay. But he doesn't actually live in the Verde Valley. The other thing is, when Mike and I started investigating this issue, this is independent of...
Does he work for the Verde Valley? He drives over from Prescott. I mean, just, you know, to make that point clear.
Okay. What we found is that there's a kind of a fog of fear from former faculty members and current teachers and stuff to talk about this. And one of the things I think that's so valuable about what Bob and Ruth has done is they brought it forward in public. A lot of the information that we get, we can't attribute it to a particular person. So, I think it's important that you guys step forward. So how would we know that they were spending all this money on tennis courts and while they were meantime cutting the money over here if it wasn't for Bob being on the board where he had access to everything, right, Bob?
Well, that's true. The board meetings are, televised, so to speak, and you can download them from the website. So you have that information, and you also do have their full agenda. The problem is that no one looks at that information. the board works in almost total obscurity. It's astonishing. The only person that I can recall in 12 months to even talk to the board from any community directly has been Ruth Wicks.
One person.
No one looks at it. The media has never covered it, never gone back and really begun to ask serious questions about where's this money really coming from? Where are you going to get $100 million from? Who's going to pay for it? Who paid the $7 million for the new campus at the Prescott Airport? Who paid the $27 million for the utility improvements that were made in 2011 and 12? Those weren't issues that came to the voters. In fact, the administration has found a way to develop this campus without ever going back to the residents of the county as voters. I see it as a fairly cynical change in attitude in terms of the role residents play in our community college.
Once again, to be clear, they found a way to develop the campus by finding this money in the budget that taken from other parts of the budget, by closing campuses and by selling campuses.
That's it. That's exactly right.
That's good. I just want to make that clear.
I think that's a good point.
Well, you know, before we move on, I think a lot of times people see all communities the same. And this Verde Valley is a very special place, as we know. Every time we've ever had an override or bond, it has passed in this valley. And when they did the bond for the college in 2000, it passed by what do they call a supermajority in Beaver Creek, Cottonwood, all our area. So when we look at the override issue this past year, no override passed in the Prescott area. So the atmosphere there is very, very different from our atmosphere here. So people in the Verde Valley care about education. They're willing to spend money on quality education. But if there is no way for people to actually get additional skills or training beyond high school, then we fail our communities. So we can no longer be silent.
To the other side of that you intimated but didn't quite say, yes, no bonds passed on the other, K-12 bonds passed on the other side of the mountain. On this side of the mountain, the Mingus bond passed as they have since 1985. The Sedona bond passed. It did fail last time. And the other bond, Beaver Creek, passed. So all the bonds passed over here because I believe, as you said, people care more about education, especially when pressed up against it, especially when the issue is clear. Either pay for it or don't have it.
Okay, so we're passing bonds over here to support K-12 education. And the Yavapai College is taking as much money as we pay for K-12 education, and they're spending the vast majority over in Prescott. No one's arguing they're not building a really nice college over in Prescott. It's not a community college for students to be able to commute from the Verde Valley. It is too far. The gas is too expensive. People have, a lot of these people are working. They're part-time students. And as Ruth says, we're not all flush with money over here. So the community college has always provided inexpensive education. And I don't know how many stories that I've heard about kids getting turned on to education at the Clarkdale campus of Yavapai College. Our son is an example. He went to the Clarkdale campus, was in a biology class. He had never really been interested in study, and he had a kind of revelation. I like studying. I like learning. And he's now looking for a PhD program. So it does work, and if that's one story, but we must have, when Mike and I were walking around talking to folks, we heard, a dozen of these stories about young people getting turned on to learning at the community college. They'll go to ASU and be overwhelmed, 65,000 students. NAU has the highest requirements to get in of any of the three state colleges, so it's hard just to go up to NAU if you don't have the grade. So community college provides a really important service. It's really important to the Valley. Now, Bob, what's the mission? You talk about the mission of a community college. Ruth, Jessica, want to come in on this. What's the mission of a community college? Because they've I must say, and I'm not thinking these are bad people or anything over there, is they've really sacrificed the mission of a community college, at least in the Verde Valley, and I would say in other areas too, in order to build a really nice college over there. There's a tremendous amount of spending. And as most folks know, community colleges, any kind of college, are economic engines. They train people. They hire people, so forth and so on.
Well, you're right. A community college has, I suppose, a mission that's divided into 3 points. One, obviously, is local education, access locally. And you've been touching on that very thoroughly, I thought. Local economic development, to work with local businesses to meet the needs of local businesses in terms of training skilled workers. And then local cultural enrichment. On this cultural enrichment thing, for example, Prescott has a huge theater where they've invested millions and millions of dollars, and they bring in national and international shows on a weekly basis. Over here, they've done nothing, as far as I know, in Sedona at all. On the Verde campus, they brought in the last year, 3 shows, all of which were either not announced
right.
or barely made known to anyone. But those are the 3 things that they do. And it's local.
Let me just go to one point, and then we'll go to Ruth. And let me, maybe you guys can explain this. But why isn't there decent signage to even find the college? When I first went to find the college, I had trouble finding it. And secondly, when I got there, it didn't look like it was the college. I mean, there was no big sign. I guess that's getting remedied. But why does it take 14 years to put up signs, and to say that you don't have enough money to put up signs to get to the college?
Well, the campus has been there since the 70s, but go ahead, Ruth.
Well, that's because it's out of the way.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I wanted to go back to that mission statement. Always a high school counselor. You know, I'm a nagger and I'm a perseverer, and all the students that I work with will tell you that. So this issue might take us 10 years, but we're going to go for it. You know, we're going to. The mission of the college is, I believe, really simple: affordable, accessible, quality education for the people in the county of Yavapai, and that's it in a nutshell. So then you have these different groups, subgroups that you help, like transfer program students who are going on to NAU, ASU, U of A, or other institutions, higher learning. And then you have your enrichment classes. You have then classes for, certificate classes where, you know, technology classes that in two semesters they have their certificate and they can get a job. They know how to weld. They know how to fix a engine and read a computer to know how to fix the engine. So I think in a nutshell, that's what the college should be focusing on. But they're not focusing on all the citizens of Yavapai County.
I have friends that question all sorts of missions other than the academic mission of a community college, of that grade 13 and 14, that thing in between, that post-secondary. There's all sorts of training available at that level that doesn't include academic training. And as Ruth pointed out, and some people believe that Yavapai has lost their focus on that. Whatever mission statements we have here, I thought Jessica had something.
Well, I was just struck, Bob, by your mention of a theater up there in Prescott. On the campus, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is they have a really large performing arts center. Is that true?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
I understand also from some of the information that you provided that they recently installed or spent money to install a professional kitchen accessible to the performing arts center.
That's right. The board approved about a $750,000 expenditure for a kitchen for the theater. So they could have some dinner shows. And Of course, my reaction to that is, holy smokes, what kind of a community college puts in a quarter of a million-dollar commercial kitchen of some sort so you can
And my understanding
shows.
Is also that they subsidize, the college funds subsidize the Performing Arts Center. Could you remind me how much that is a year?
Right. They don't break even. So the amount of money has varied. The last estimate from the budget that I saw was between $400,000 and $500,000 this past year.
Well, that's what I remembered. And I guess as a council person, I'm very well aware that here in Sedona, we have a large performing arts center that has no reserve funds for repair. We have a big performing arts center that is subsidized entirely through our school board.
You have one that went under. I mean, one that didn't make it.
Right. And so I'm kind of struck by the focus, once again, even in our performing arts venues, with the focus on the Prescott. I guess at this point, not knowing much more, and this is just the beginning for me, I would be delighted with the plan if I lived in Prescott.
Yeah, I think it's a beginning for all of us, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, I was going to say they've been dangling the idea that they might have a culinary institute at Sedona for some time. And whenever Sedona people get restless, we hear that they're going to might have a culinary institute. Bob, is that in the budget?
No, there's the amount of money that is set aside for Sedona over the next 10 years is zero. There's
Just
nothing in there.
Let's be clear. Don't forget, a lot of people. Well, I think what happened, and correct me if this characterization is wrong, that you have some strangers that did a study, and they came up with things that we find really odd. So the reason a community, a culinary institute would go well in Sedona is because we have a ton of resorts here and lots of fancy restaurants. And it seems like we could locally train a lot of people to go into that workforce. So, I mean, that's sort of a no-brainer, but it may not to strangers. To somebody who hasn't spent some time in the Sedona community, a culinary arts institute isn't as obvious as it is to the people sitting at this table.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's something to discuss where you would want to put it. But I guess I go back to the question, we have people running the college, and I'm sure they're wonderful people, and I looked at the bio of the people who are the foundations, and I looked at the bios of the people who run the college. I'm sure they're great people. They seem to think that they can take all the tax money from the Verde Valley, from the whole east side of the Yavapai County, and spend it all over there on things that will boost the economy over there, which is great. We want Prescott to thrive. We want Prescott to be a more and more interesting place. But if that's what this is about, then they should raise the money in Prescott and Prescott Valley for all of that, not over here in the Verde Valley, because we need some place for our kids and our young people and also people to go and retrain here, driving distance, accessible, inexpensive, brilliant teachers like Mike.
There did seem to be some deception involved, and maybe not. Once again, we're waiting. We'd love to hear from them, but that there was a cart before the horse, that cut the programs and then say, look, the students didn't show up. Cut the programs. Oh, look, you have low enrollment. And you scratch your head and say, well, yeah, you cut the program, so nobody enrolled in it. Instead of the other way around. I'd love to look at the numbers. I'd like to look at the timeline.
I think something that you alluded to earlier too, Mike, was the lack of promotion of the college on this side of the Mingus Mountain.
Right.
They're not promoting the college over here. They don't even have signs, very good signs to get there. And they've stopped promoting it. They stopped talking to people about it. They're having trouble coming up with a sign to put across Old Town Sedona Street that tells people about the college.
You talk about something that has become invisible. As a 40-year resident of the Verde Valley, not having a sign to the college,
there are signs,
but they're small and a decent signage, or at least comparable signage. If you go to other post-secondary institutions to keep it within the same ballpark. Boy, there seems to be a science that take you there.
Also, Mike, isn't it? I mean, even though, well, you're going to a community college, you want to feel like it's a college. It should look like a college. It have signage like a college. It should have some facilities like a college. So you feel like you're going to college. Because part of getting people back into education is to give them what they think is kind of an invaluable, that they're valuable to us. We're willing to spend money to help educate them, and that this is a real place that can get going. Bob?
No, I agree completely with you. Small point on the signs. In the last few months, the issue of new signage for Prescott came up, and the board voted agreed that signage on the Prescott campus was a goal. For Prescott campus, right?
Okay.
New signs for Prescott campus, new sign for Verde campus, and then a new sign for the Mayer High School. Mayer High School is done. The Prescott campus put up a Las Vegas type of sign, beautiful sign, costing thousands of dollars. On the Verde campus, according to the written report that I obtained from the city of Cottonwood, Doug Bartosz said that the dean of the Verde campus came to him asking that the city join with the college in putting up a sign in the city, a big sign that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And people have complained about for 15 years. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And they, in his report, written report, Doug says that Cottonwood didn't have the money. They would consider it maybe next year. The sign never developed. They did put a sign again on the entrance on
right.
Black Hills Drive
right.
where it's not useful at all.
Right.
But just little things like that. Prescott, you go there, you will see the big Las Vegas sign. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't absolutely. They had no trouble there.
We have the monument-style signs, which actually Cottonwood prefers.
Yeah.
But it's right in front of the campus, like,
right.
So you're there when, you know, you're there because right. you see it there. So yes, we're kind of running out of time here. So obviously there's lots and lots to talk about when it comes to this, people like Bob Oliphant, Ruth Wicks, our guest this morning, have been, fighting a good fight for us for quite
and
a while.
Hopefully you'll come back next week and we can
let's do some more of this. A Democratic Perspective is happy to join you in the struggle, to find out, to ask questions, to say, you know, if you confuse, to boil it down between taxes paid by the Verde Valley and Sedona and services received by the Verde Valley and Sedona. And Jessica Williamson, Sedona councilperson, is going to say something.
Thanks for being with us, folks. We're running out of time. You can get a copy of this podcast on vvid.org. That's our website. We'll be back next week. This is a nonpartisan issue, folks.
Yeah.
And Mike and I have tried to begin to cover underreported, misreported things in the Verde Valley.
We've done wine shows, Old Town Cottonwood shows. We did parents of gay and lesbian shows. We've had some community oriented shows. So we don't just argue politics among ourselves and pay this guy money to hear ourselves talk, basically. But yeah, and we get some help doing that. We get some help. The Democrats at the Red Rocks, Democrats at the Verde Valley. These are the organizations that throw a little money our way, help keep us on the air.
Ruth, did you have somebody you wanted to contact or?
No, I'm hoping the Republican Party steps up. I know this is predominantly a liberal-leaning talk show.
We'll take their money.
No,
we'll take their money.
But we would love to have the whole community come together like it always has in support of education in our valley.
I think this is an issue we can take to our Republican friends. I think it's an issue of fairness. I think that many, many Republicans agree with us on the importance of public education. There are some over on the extremes that don't, but I think most of them do understand how important it is.
We want to thank our guests for being in this. We're Bob Oliphant, former board member of Yavapai College, Jessica Williamson, City Sedona Councilor, Ruth Wicks, gadfly of the Verde Valley, Yavapai College Foundation Person X.
Thank you for being with us, folks. Tune in next week, and we'll be continuing this discussion because it is important. It is about education. It is about fairness.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.